This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 876. I am Lisa Sheps, your host with the most, and I'm joined by my co-host with the most, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to the two of us at KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. This puppy streams live every Wednesday around the world at koop.org.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
It is Wednesday, May something, 13th, 2026. On the show today, we have Jarrett Productions and their show Destination. Later on, we'll be talking to Austin Shakespeare and their production of Much Ado About Nothing. And finally, all the way at the end of the show, we're going to have a conversation with Broadway and Austin folks and their show National Tour of the Wiz. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, and other places. Stick with us.
When I was in fifth grade, I had a friend, Steve played. He and I were
all right. My mind isn't working today, Nicole Shiro.
That's okay. It's all good. Sometimes we have those days.
It's good. Well, I did not write.
It's like the virtual library. It's just checked out right now.
True.
When it comes back, it'll go in your brain.
True. I did not write the date down on my. It says May 6th on my script.
It's my little Dolly Parton's birthday.
It's Dolly. Oh, your dog Dolly Parton.
Yes.
Got it.
It's her little birthday and her sister Millie Vanilli and her brother Archie.
Okay. There you go. Archie and the Jugheads.
Yeah.
Okay. How are you? Checking
good
in with
three.
You.
I'm good. I need to take different glasses on
good.
I can see
yeah.
you better.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that.
There you go. And then now that the people watching on the YouTube channel can see that.
Yeah. I'm good. I'm here.
Good.
Woo!
Right. Woo! Let's introduce the folks that are here with us. Veterans all. We have David Jarrett. Hi, David.
Hello, hello.
Wait, you know what's going to be better? Yeah, that's what you can say that again now.
Yeah, putting your mic on.
Turning your mic on. My microphone is on.
Want me to say hello again?
Yeah. Well, yes, please.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. We have Janelle Buchanan.
Hello.
And Bob Bear.
Hey there.
Bob Beer Bear. Bear 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 Bear.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be one of those days. So we have a jam-packed show. We only have a little bit of time to talk about stuff, so we're going to blast through.
I know. I'm wondering what you're going to pick, because there's some stuff, and I sent you some stuff. And I
don't remember
know
you sending
could...
me any some stuff.
I did send you some stuff.
Oh, okay. I don't remember, but you can.
Yeah.
You're welcome to talk about
hello.
It.
Hello. You don't read my emails, apparently.
I do.
No, you don't.
I do.
You don't
I do.
Care.
I got one email from you, but I don't remember what it was.
I'm just going to send you Paddington all the time now.
Okay, it was not Paddington. So that was Book of Mormon we played.
I know why you played it.
Well, yeah, because they are not.
They're closed through the 17th at this point.
Correct, because the follow spot booth caught on fire.
Fire!
And
it was not a fire budget. It was just an actual fire.
No, and the talk is, you know, these Broadway theaters are rather old, and they've jam-packed a lot of new technology in these theaters that were not made to run the electrical things that we require them to run.
Yes, but I don't think they've come to a conclusion yet exactly how it started. So I think we're speculating and getting a little out of hand.
But it is a fact that these
theaters
were built
is
in an era before we had this kind of need.
Correct.
So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. And
they did announce today that the box office in person at the theater would now be back open again, I think, starting today. Right. But that the show's still dark through the 17th.
But the tickets are still hot.
Yep.
Ha! They're not only hot, they're on fire.
Oh,
yeah.
Hello.
And next month is their 15th anniversary.
Yes.
And they've got some really good, exciting stuff. Like a lot of the original cast is coming back.
Yes.
And Robert Lopez, Trey Parker, and the third guy are all going to be doing...
Matt Stone?
Trey Stone, yeah, are going to be in it. They're going to
No, Matt Stone, Trey Parker.
Matt Stone, Trey Parker. I can't be held responsible. Anyway, they're going to be doing, not cameos, they're going to be playing Joseph Smith and Jesus Christ and all sorts of crazy things.
Yeah.
I think that's good. But Josh Gad, Andrew Rannells, Nikki M. James, Rory O'Malley, all are coming back.
It's happening.
And look at this. If I just looked at my little notes here, I wouldn't have had to think about what names they are because I got it right.
You highlighted them?
Yeah. So let's talk about a couple of things that I just want to talk about that I think is interesting that I don't know whether we've talked about this or not, but has anybody here ever done community theater where they have participation fees?
Participation
what?
Fees?
I've never heard
they
of such a thing.
They charge the actors to be in the show.
I've never heard of such a thing. That's new to me.
I know. Janelle, I'm going to ask you to get right up onto the microphone.
That's new to me. I've never heard of such crazy
thing. No, it's true. Many, many, many community theaters.
Oh, I believe it's true. I've just never heard. Oh, here in Texas? Everywhere?
I think everywhere around the country.
Oh my gosh! Well,
you're giving
I've never
me
heard
a great
of this.
Idea.
I mean, many, 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 even more community theaters don't pay their people,
right?
But no, they have. In order to do it, they have to pay. And I just thought I'd talk about it for a little second. I just saw an onstage blog about it, and they obviously says this should not happen, which I agree with. But it just dawned on me that I would just want to, so none of you have ever experienced this or
know
about it.
Never.
No, it's like asking teachers to pay to teach.
Which they do.
They do. It doesn't surprise me.
Absolutely do.
It's not surprising to me.
Yeah. I find it so strange that the things that we ask of our artists in this country that you wouldn't ask any other profession other than teachers.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a nice discussion. The other thing that this is another thing I heard. This was not in the news, but one of the podcasts I listened to was Matt Temenini, who was a guest on the show, was talking about his experience where he went to see, I forgot what show it was, but it's something they had shot previously for a pro tape version of it. But at his performance, after he got there, it was announced that they would be shooting B-roll. During that performance. So, which sounds okay. That's been done before. But they also said that during this performance, some of this B-roll would be shot by drones inside a Broadway theater.
Okay.
Okay. Have y'all heard what drones sound like?
Yeah.
A whole new level of distraction.
Drones sound like. I didn't give you permission to fly over my head.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, what I find interesting is, now he did not talk about any of this, but I'm guessing that those prices weren't discounted. They weren't warned ahead of time.
Right.
Or any of that. And I think they did.
That's
what
we call bait and switch, Lisa.
They did the drones only during the big numbers where it would be louder.
Oh,
but
okay.
Still,
well, but then what's the difference?
I'm going to take Nicole's point of how would y'all feel if you showed up at a theater and
ticked off? And
I wouldn't care
know?
For it.
As an audience member an actor?
Either one.
But presumably, the actors who are part of the Actors Equity Association, they got 24 hours notice.
Right.
But the audience did not.
The audience did not. I mean, I would be a little...
I'd be concerned.
One of those that you show up and it's posted and saying your likeness will be used. And if you don't agree, then you don't enter. But you're not given a choice of a refund or anything else. And what if you plan your trip? That's a bunch of malarkey.
It is malarkey. And what's interesting is they don't just decide to do that in the morning and shoot it that night.
No, right. That was weeks and been planned.
Way in
yes.
So they could have.
And they could have actually put students in there or had made it accessible and say, want to see how the sausage is made. There are so many ways it could have given them a great opportunity and to make press out of this about using this technology when shooting B-roll and how does one plan it. They lost the plot.
I will say this, that Matt did not say whether he was told in advance, but he intimated that he wasn't told in advance.
I was like, sounds like he wasn't the way he was talking.
He said they announced it when he was there, but yeah, it's wrong. I'm glad we all agree.
Yep, not cool.
Anybody disagree? Come on.
No.
Totally okay.
Agree.
So the Outer Circle Critics Awards were given out. And I will just say that Schmigadoon was named Outstanding Broadway New Musical. Mexodus was Outstanding New Off-Broadway Musical. And Ragtime, Outstanding Revival of Musical.
Mm-hmm.
No surprises. The Ballesters, Outstanding New Broadway Play. Meet the Cartosians, which I've never heard of. Is that a Spoof? Anybody?
It is.
Is it a spoof on the...
It is.
Kardashians?
Kardashians.
Okay. The title is, but it's not an actual, like, spoof, direct spoof. It's not like a Titanic.
Right.
It's a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize in drama.
That's what I'm saying. Oh. It's inspiration from the title and family and the crazy, but it's not like a Titanic.
Got it.
Spoofy.
Interesting.
Type of show.
Interesting. And Broadway's Death of a Salesman was outstanding revival of a play.
I'll bet.
You didn't talk about Daniel Radcliffe winning. Didn't he win?
I don't know.
Yeah.
For?
Thank you. For every brilliant thing.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, right.
Yeah, I didn't. I just, you know what?
Well, that's important, headlines. Lisa.
Yes.
We love him.
Oh, we do.
We do.
Okay.
He's a versatile young man.
Speaking of we loving people, the Grobes just put out a new album.
Because he's the Grobes. Of course I saw it. He sends me little emails reminding me to purchase the album all the time.
Oh, good, good.
He's got a good marketing team.
Good, 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 good.
Love the Grobes. Yes, we do love him too.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be cool if the Daniel and the Grobes did something together? That would be fun.
Yeah, I think that they could.
I do too. Putting it in the universe, making it happen.
Paranormal Activity is going to be a Broadway show.
Yeah.
It's going to open on September 5th at the August Wilson Theater. It's written by Levi Holloway, directed by Felix Barrett. And it's been around for a while. It had a stage play in England in 2024. But before it opens here, it's already going to... This is kind of a six kind of thing where they've just played a whole bunch of other stuff. They're Shakespeare Theater Festival, Center Theater Group in Los Angeles, Shakespeare Theater Company in Washington, and American Conservatory, ACT, in San Francisco. And then before it gets to Broadway, that's where it's already played, and it's going to be playing at Emerson Colonial Theater in Boston before it arrives. I don't know anything about Paranormal Activity. It's a horror play?
I don't know. I've not heard of it.
Suspense, probably more than horror. We don't have a lot of horror on stage.
We don't. But I think I read something that they were calling
it. I would take issue with that. I've seen a lot of horror on stage.
Well, yes, but not in the supposed to be horror genre.
Anybody ever see Violet?
Yeah. So I think it's in that vein. There's been a few.
But is it? Was it a like movie, a TV show? What is it?
I believe it's been a movie and TV.
Okay.
I don't know if it's been in both, but never heard of it.
Okay.
Not my genre.
I don't have I don't have even a sixth sense about it.
Boy, you were on fire today. What was one of the things that you wanted to talk about that I did not put on my list?
I don't know. Well, then I'd have to pull up the article, which I don't have up. That really cool, crazy version of Glass Menagerie that was just redone over in the Australia.
Yeah, I looked at that. It didn't look that cool and crazy to me.
It was bizarre. I don't have the article up in front of me, so I can't reference a whole bunch of the stuff.
All right. Okay, so there's a Glass Menagerie. What was different about it?
They changed a whole bunch of stuff. It was kind of like
it's not glass anymore.
It's glass.
We call it here at Ground All Stage and on the Air. We call it Zoe Louis Clothing Freestyle. We're about to move on. So.
Okay, good.
All right. Proof, which got snubbed at the Tonys, in some people's opinion. Are y'all fans of Proof or not fans of Proof?
Yeah. I've only seen one production.
I don't like it.
This is the one with the Adrian Warren, right?
Adrian Warren is going in, and what is amazing about that is adding Adrian Warren...
Changing the whole context of stuff.
Well, it's got...
it's great.
It's going to be Adrian Warren, Ayo Edebiri, Don Cheadle, and Jin Ha. That's an amazing cast.
I love Don Cheadle.
Yeah, but I didn't like the show. I saw the one here, but what I didn't like I did not like the production I saw. I'm going. Yeah. Why is this play? Yeah. Why does this play exist? Does everybody love it? It's a Pulitzer Prize winner as well. I think. Yeah,
it's intellectual. It's an intellectual piece.
That's what makes the world around.
Well,
a lot of shows I don't understand, but they're popular.
It was not my folky strokey.
No, I get it. It hasn't ever really
like
been
it.
My jam. Oh,
yeah. it's intellectual, but I was waiting for them to bust into song, and they just wouldn't do it.
That would be great.
He's always waiting for somebody to bust
into song. Da, 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 da. I almost went into I Believe a minute ago.
That's a good one, too. Wow, I think I went... Oh, there There was an interesting, well, I don't think the article is all that interesting, but it just made me think about Hamlet and Othello, as speaking of the bard, and the they're talking about the villains in Hamlet and Othello. But I read an article that is not this one, just about the most evil character in literature is widely considered to be Iago. Well, Janelle just made a face that doesn't work on the radio, but her face said, well, maybe.
Maybe.
But the reason being, and I've often said this, I think even the most evil characters, when you're watching a show, has to have some kind of redeeming value for the audience to at all relate to them. And a lot of times the evil character will tell, it'll go, oh, you're this way because this stuff happened to you. But Iago doesn't do that. And as a matter of fact, even at the end, when Othello goes, why did you do this? He goes, he doesn't give Othello the benefit of telling him why he did it. So we never know why Othello is just as evil as he is. He's just evil.
So you have to make it up for yourself. Unlike Wicked, where Elphaba, it's like presented to us that she wasn't
Elphaba
the chef.
Is not evil.
I know. But
the whole fighting
words. Well, no, the whole show is upending the whole device of the Wizard of Oz, right?
True. But I just thought that was interesting.
By the way, he's a psychologist in real life.
Yeah. Don't get me started.
I saw your Facebook page today. And you know, you're from Mexico.
Ha ha! That's a good joke.
I've never heard that before.
Do you know the joke? Yeah.
No, I just
It's Mexico, New York.
I know that.
Which is just south of Texas, New York, believe it or not.
Oh, is that right?
The smallest towns.
It's in the Hudson Valley?
No.
It's up
way north.
North center.
Why do you know that?
Because I looked you up today.
You are smart.
I saw that you were born in Mexico, and I said,
did you stalk me? No, that's a line from the show we're in now.
I did. I was doing my research on this show.
Thank you.
And I just thought that, and I said, oh, I'm going to say he's from Mexico and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm headed up there in a couple of weeks to go fishing in between shows.
I've not been to that part of New York, but I've been to I spent a lot of time in every other part of New York. But I didn't spend much time in the western areas of New York. It's cold. I like cold. I'm a big fan. All right. Well, that's it. Oh, the last thing I want to talk about before we go on break.
Oh, I was about to say, I didn't say it because I saw you were going to play music, so you had to say it.
It's there. The last
I'm very
bullet point.
Excited about this.
It is the 30th anniversary of Rent.
It is.
And there's going to be a big concert performance. One night only, directed by Michael Greif. What I think is interesting is the original music director is going to be joining along with the original band.
I was like, the original band's coming back.
I think that's cool.
A few of the cast members and people over the ages. I think it's so incredible. It's a fundraiser for
Broadway Cares. Yep.
That's wonderful.
This morning I was like, this is everything.
That band, just so we know them by name, is Kenny Brescia, Stephanie Mack, Jeff Potter, and Daniel A. Weiss.
So cool.
They have not announced the full cast, but one would assume there will be some names involved.
There are. And the Daphne Ruba Vega has just been working. She's in another show right now, too. She hasn't stopped.
She doesn't stop.
She
can't quit. So this is from Rent. This is What You Own. We will be right back. The filmmaker cannot see. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. We're at 91.7 on your FM dial, your analog FM dial.
Boom, boom, boom.
And all that other stuff. So let's introduce our guests for the real reason why they're here. And that's their show, Destination.
They came to hang out with us.
And they wanted to come out and hang with us.
Yeah,
they
of course.
Like us. Jarrett Productions, we have the founder. And what's your official title now? Are you no longer the artistic director?
I'm a fad.
You're the founding artistic director. Yep. I figured that out.
Passing fad.
Of Jarrett Productions, David Jarrett. Hi, David.
Hello.
And two of the actors, Janelle Buchanan. Hi, Janelle.
Hi. Glad to be here. Delighted to be doing this show with Jarrett Productions.
And Bob Bear.
Yes, I'm here.
I wanted to say beer. I don't know, because I'm thinking about beer.
I was
beer.
Like, yes. You just thinking about beer? That's an odd choice.
So, David, this is a show called Destination.
It is.
This is, you just directed this in New York.
I did.
So, tell us about the show. What is it?
The show is based on true events that happened in the playwright's family several many years ago.
In Houston,
George
Texas.
Ayers is the playwright. And he's a Texan. He was raised in San Antonio, but has also roots in Houston and lived in Austin for a while. And I met him in 2017 when I was asked to read probably the first version of this play. And I did. And then years passed, and George moved with his family to the Hudson Valley in New York, where he lives now. And there were several revisions of the play over the years, and they did several staged readings of the play over the years up there. And then they finally decided to pull the plug and do an Equity Showcase production, and they called me and asked me to direct.
That's amazing.
Thrilled to do that.
Was that considered the world premiere, or is this the world premiere?
That would, well, if you're in New York, that's the world.
True that.
So I think technically that would be the world premiere. This is the Southwest regional premiere.
There you go.
And it's a lovely play. It's, as I say, based on true events that happened in the playwright's family's lives, and with some modifications, of course. And it revolves around a character named Howard, who's an 83-year-old retired and widowed architect living in Houston. The whole play takes place in Houston. And he's having a sort of an old life crisis. Now, I guess you don't know what mid is until you get to the end. But but I think we can safely say this was not a midlife crisis. And he decides to do something about this. And what it is, we will not reveal at this time.
But he goes on a little journey, doesn't he?
But he goes on a journey. Yeah. And there's more than one destination involved in this play. Almost every one of the characters in the play is seeking a destination of his or her own.
Well, I love that the protagonists and the main characters are people of a certain age, which we don't
yes.
see.
Well, this is one of the things that we do frequently with Jarrett Productions.
Yeah, which is which I appreciate, and mm-hmm. I think the world should appreciate. Bob, you play said Howard, yes?
Yeah.
I'm guessing, because you look 83 years
thank
old.
Thank you so much.
I'm teasing.
No,
I say this to my audience. He does not look 83 years old.
What does 83 look like, Lisa?
Yeah.
Me, right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, when David and I talked about the role, I said, are you kidding? I'm 83? And anyway, it's been a rich experience. The rehearsals of this show, it's been a personal growth thing, because I'm a little old.
Well, you look to be about 40.
Yeah, thank you. You know, there's a lot of things that happen. You know, we can have a lot of train wrecks in our life that wake us up to things, right? Aging in itself will make things come into focus about what's important in life. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but
true.
I'm older than you, so I know.
Tell us about the character of...
Howard's an old curmudgeon. Bob is an old curmudgeon, so it was typecasting. And... but there's a few things that happen in the show that wake him up to what's important. Because I'm an architect, and throughout the show, I'm like doing these little profound teachings about architecture, which are just pompous bull crap, right? But then there's a wake up call to the heart that happens in the show. It's like woken me up as playing the role. So anyway, it's funny too. I get to tell some really good jokes.
Yeah, good. Janelle, tell us about the character you're playing.
I'm playing Gigi, who lives across the hall from Howard. In an assisted living facility. She is a widow. She's 80. What I really love about this character and this play is that she's not a cute old person.
Okay.
This is not a play about cute old people. These are fully developed characters with lots of facets to their personalities. They just happen to be 80-ish.
Cool. Are all the so it's a six-hander, six actors in it?
There are six actors.
And are we all of a certain age, or are there some young folks in it?
There's some youngsters in there. Joshua Nunez is new to our company, as is Valencia Lee, although I've known her for a while and she's been around here for a while, and Adrian Schoen. These are all new people to Jarrett Productions. Mm-hmm. And then we have a returning Jarrett alum, Devin Ragsdale, yep. who plays Jennifer Howard's daughter. And so there's no teenagers.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Oh, great. Well, y'all are going to do a little scene. Yes?
Yeah.
So do we want to set this up?
This is the very beginning of the play. And as we say, it's set primarily, there are other scenes as well, but primarily in Howard's apartment in his assisted living facility. And Gigi comes in for one of her daily visits and trips over the rug.
Okay, so this is Janelle Buchanan and Bob Baer doing a scene from Jarrett Productions' production of Destination.
Howard, you need to tape down this rug. That's the third time I've almost fallen flat on my face.
I couldn't find the tape.
Who can find anything in this place? You got boxes over there, there. Could have broken my hip.
You break a hip at our age, they take you out and shoot you.
Yeah. Listen to this one.
Not another haiku.
This one's about you. Howard is his name. Tall buildings are what he loves. He doesn't mingle. What do you think?
I don't mingle?
You don't go to the sing-alongs, to bingo, to the wine tastings, the arts and crafty things.
Doesn't mean I don't like to mingle.
Okay, how about this for the last line? He's not that friendly.
What?
I'm trying to make a five-syllable line that sounds like you.
I'm not friendly?
You could be friendlier.
Well... You remember when we were looking at those buildings where the old Rice Hotel used to be?
The Rice Hotel is still there.
Yeah, but it's been renovated into condos. Progress, the Chronicle called it. I got a four-letter word for it, and it's not progress. Now, look out the window here. I found that building we were talking about. It's the one to the right of that far one.
It's kind of gray.
All the buildings are gray from up here. I designed that one in 1982.
It's not that tall a building.
I never cared about height, Gigi. I was all about style and aesthetics of a structure. Architecture is a journey. I've told you that before, right?
More than once.
You have a plan and you go until you have your finished product, and it needs to work out for everybody, not just you.
Sometimes I wonder if I'm crazy sitting here listening to you ramble on.
You're a good listener.
Is that all I am to you?
Well, that's a good thing, don't you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Now... You remember when everyone was up in arms about zoning?
Who could forget that hot button issue? And here we are in this building right next to a neighborhood that the neighbors hate us.
This building, huh? No aesthetic character, likely flimsy construction, shoddy craftsmanship. Just look at that crown molding. It's disgusting. I never would have allowed it.
You had more integrity, Howard.
You're darn right. We make our buildings and afterwards they make us. You know who said that? Churchill. Now, there was a man who knew a thing or two. I miss having leaders like that. Men who rise up when it's time to rise up.
Mr. Prime Minister Churchill, are you going to rise up and come down for supper tonight?
Too many dentures, walkers, and hearing aids, so heck no.
We're in an assisted living facility, Howard. Those things assist in living. You wear hearing aids.
Only one.
Maybe we should have lunch sometime. Oh, that reminds me. Listen to this one. Lunch with friends is nice. It's a type of communion that makes you feel close.
Gigi, you're the haiku queen.
Writing makes me use my mind, keeps my brain active. Your turn.
No, I'm no good at poetry.
Oh, come on. It's fun and simple. Five syllables for the first line, seven syllables for the second, five syllables for the third. Give it a shot.
I don't want to write.
There's your first line.
What's my first line?
I don't want to write. Now you need a line with seven syllables.
No thanks. I don't want to write.
Wow, you're good at this.
Can we stop this stuff?
And there's your five syllables.
That's great. I saw LBJ at the Rice Hotel, by the way.
Did you really?
Yes, back in the day.
That's pretty cool.
Dating yourself.
I know. Well, who
we
else would?
We already have.
What a fun scene. I wish I had a whole bunch of time to talk about it, but we're running out of time. But that seems like a lot of fun. I love the banter. This haiku thing was great. Amazing.
Well, there's more where that came from.
I love it. More, no, you can't have enough haiku. Tell us when you open and when you close.
We open, our first public performance is tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Dun, dun,
we play May 14th through 31st at Trinity Street Playhouse.
Great. And where can folks go to get more information about the show?
JarrettProductions.com.
Great. Well, thank you all so much.
Thank you so much. This was fun.
It was wonderful.
Great. Thank you. That was David Jarrett, Janelle Buchanan, and Bob Baer of Jarrett Productions' production of Destination, playing May 14th through 31st at Trinity Street Theater. For more information, you may visit JarrettProductions.com. And from Follies, which has people of a certain age, this is called The Road You Didn't Take. We'll be right back.
The road you didn't take hardly comes to
We
mind.
Are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
It's us.
We're going to zip through and do our local stuff as fast as we can.
All right, you starting? I'm starting. Who's starting?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. I had some things I wanted to highlight, but I don't think I do now.
Okay.
I'll start.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to start with Zach Theater. He's got two shows. Charlotte's Web is playing through the 17th of this month, and Dear Evan Hansen is playing till the end of the month on the 31st.
Ground Floor Theater has Pueblo Revolt playing now through the 23rd.
Austin Playhouse also two shows: A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Moida, playing through the 17th, and Irma Bonbeck at Wits Ends from May 22nd through June 7th.
Oh, they added some shows through the 14th now.
Through the 14th.
Yes. Broadway in Austin right now playing is The Wiz, playing now through the 17th.
And City Theater's got The Odd Couple, also playing through the 17th.
We are going to have them on shortly. Austin Shakespeare with Much Ado About Nothing through the 24th.
Communication by Captivation, they were with us last week. Wild Card, Wizard of Oz, plays through the 16th.
And then we also have Kung Fu Cowgirl Light, a solo Chinese play of family and hope, playing the 28th through June 6th.
And the stage Austin's got Cloud 9 through the 24th. Our auditions, we have the citywide auditions, the end of the month, the 30th and the 31st. First, Changing Lives Youth Theater has a devised piece about teen violence prevention. Those auditions are on the 14th, which I believe is today or tomorrow. Kung Fu Cowgirl has Kung Fu Cowgirl the Musical playing 5/13. And I do, next week, I think I want to talk about Kung Fu Cowgirl because they have a company that's been around for 4 or 5 years and I've not heard of
them.
For
real? Because I just thought this was all new.
I did as well,
yeah,
but I looked them up today.
We need to. Yes, let's do that.
And to.
Oversight.
And then, so we have the Czar Oversight. Oh, no, it's called The Czar. Zaheer is the company name. The show is called Oversight.
Aha.
It auditions on the 16th. And then Working Poets have two shows that they're auditioning for: Girlhood on the 16th and Dating Simulator on the 20th. They do not have a website. There was nothing for me to point you to. But they have an Instagram.
They seem to have an Insta.
Working Poets Instagram is the best way to find them. Today, in theater history.
Tell us about the stuff that happened.
I'm hoping that the folks out in the lobby can hear me, and I'm going to ask them to come on into the studio.
I think so.
Yeah, okay, maybe they did. So yep. Here it is. Our birthdays are B. Arthur.
Oh, B.
Zoe Wanamaker.
Oh.
Matt Doyle.
Okay.
Hunter Parrish.
Oh.
You're going to laugh at me. Sir Arthur Sullivan. Do you know who that is?
Why do I feel like he's very old? Right?
He's very old. He's born in 1842.
He's a writer, isn't he? An author?
I clicked on him to see what he had been in, and I noticed that he died in, I believe, 1900 or 19... No, not 1900, but early 1900. And he had a credit for... and this is going to give it away. He had a credit for a show that was just on Broadway 2 years ago, which is Pirates, the Penzance musical.
Oh.
Sullivan is Gilbert and Sullivan.
That's what I was about to say. Yes, wasn't he a writer, not an actor?
It took me so long to get
That's
there.
That's so funny. That's funny. So today's his birthday.
Yes, today's his birthday.
Okay.
Opening, the original in 1954, The Pajama Game. Runaways.
I was singing Pajama Game yesterday.
Runaways opened in 1978. Cyrano in 1973.
Ooh, that's the old school.
It's the old one.
Yeah.
Legend in 1976. And The Utter Glory of Morrissey Hall in 1979. And we're going to go out with a little bit of Pirates.
You chose the Pirates for Mr. Sullivan.
Yes, and this is I Am the Very Model of a Mater. It's what they said. We'll be right back.
I'm very good at integral and differential
calculus.
We are
back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Nicole. That was Whirlwind.
Crazy.
That was David Hyde Pierce singing Modern Major General.
Yes. Yeah. He's good at that.
I almost played. They have the Modern Major General reprise, which is slightly different.
I
almost played it. Do you say reprise or reprise?
Well, yeah. Tomato, tomato.
Both are correct.
Yeah.
Both are correct, but I say reprise.
Depends on whether or not you're talking about someone doing something again in a musical or you're talking about a record label.
I think I just avoid saying it because I don't want to get it wrong.
No. Well, you just need to have my attitude. It's reprise, and that's the right way to say it. Period.
I like it.
You can say it any way you want.
I like it.
Yeah. Let's introduce the voices that you just heard. These are people from actors from Austin Shakespeare's production of Much Ado About Nothing, playing at the outdoor theater in Zilker Park. We have Katie Brown. Hi, Katie.
Hello.
That's the Welcome Beverly to... Sheffield Hillside Theater.
Yes.
Oh, did they change the name?
No, it's always been that name.
No one ever really uses the
full name, so I was given Beverly Sheffield. So
and brand new to the show, Bo Paul.
Hey.
Hi, Bo.
Zippy comeback. Insert here.
So Much Ado About Nada.
Much Ado.
This was written by a newcomer.
Yep, Bill Shakes.
Bill Shakes.
He's surprisingly prolific.
For those that don't know about Much Ado, what's it about? I guess it's about nothing.
It is about misunderstanding, as are many of this playwright's things. But yes, it's kind of the our elevator pitch is it's kind of the OG rom-com. You get two main characters who ostensibly hate each other at the beginning, and then guess what happens at the end?
They fall in love.
At a wedding.
And a fun fact about the title is, in Shakespeare's day, the word nothing would have been pronounced more like noting, which meant overhearing or gossip. So it's a lot about gossip, overhearing things, misunderstanding, misadventure.
Yes, we have scenes where people overhear stuff.
So one would assume then that the title, as we take it, is a lot of hoopla about nothing, but it's really a lot of hoopla about what people are saying.
Yes.
It's a lot.
Double entendre.
All of the inciting stuff in the play is based on people either intentionally lying or being overheard unintentionally lying. Mm-hmm.
Great. Katie, who do you play?
I play Hero. And that is I play Beau's daughter in the show.
She's my fake kid and I'm daddy.
So Hero, and are you I don't remember the character. Are you the love interest? Are you one of the love interests?
I am one of them. Mm-hmm. I am. Hero is a little bit more of the classic, sweet, princessy love interest who falls in love right at the beginning, and then some misadventure happens. And
so, in Taming of the Shrew, you have the daughter that everybody wants to get married, and then mm-hmm. you have Kate. She's the daughter that everybody wants to get married
okay,
to.
There you
and
go.
Beatrice is the ostensible lead,
is
and
the
that's
shrew.
Kate.
Yes. There you go.
And we even say shrew in the play.
Oh, there you go.
That's fitting.
And who are you playing, Bo?
I'm playing Leonardo, who is Hero's father and Beatrice's uncle and guardian. So I'm basically a big daddy for the two lady leads in the play, and I'm also the governor of Messina. So I'm which is the setting of the play. So I'm kind of one of the main bigwigs.
Well, great.
One of the main bigwigs.
Austin Shakespeare oftentimes sets their Shakespearean stuff in different time.
They
eras?
Do.
Yes.
What time era is this one set in?
The dice roll ended up in the 1950s.
Okay.
But specifically kind of the 1950s Italy that existed in the brain of Federico Fellini.
Oh, okay.
So there are Fellini-esque elements in the design, and also Dolly-esque.
Yeah, there's
elements.
A little bit of Dolly in the design as well.
Can you give me an idea? Of what a Fellini-esque moment would be in this case?
Just like as far as design, it's kind of sharp lines, and even though Fellini worked in black and white a lot, we're dealing with colors that are popping quite a bit.
Well, Fellini is kind of absurdist a little bit.
A little bit.
A lot of non sequiturs. Is there any of that in the action of the play as well?
Not so much, because we are, of course, you know, kind of hemmed in by what is actually written there. But the cut, I guess, kind of lends itself a little bit.
It's in the public domain. You can do whatever you want.
That's true. But see, people tend to frown on it when you mess around too much with Billy Shakes.
Well, that's great. Also, Austin Shakespeare tends to have a lot of music in their shows.
Did
we do that this time?
Yes. There is a musical centerpiece in the play, which actually is in the play. Mm-hmm. One of the characters sings a song called Hey Nani Nani. And
yes, they do.
Being the 50s, we're kind of...
Do we bebop it?
We're rock and rolling it up. Mm-hmm. We've got some hot jazz earlier in the play. We've got a nice little swing dance number,
but then
later we bring on the rock and roll to the shock of Leonardo.
So now this is done out at the park, out at the Zilker Hillside Theater.
Zilker Hillside Theater. She's got an initial in the middle there.
Okay. The Hillside Theater tends to be the nom de guerre.
The Hillside Theater
would argue with you. It is called the full name, so you all know.
And that's a very good reprise.
I think it's Beverly S. Sheffield.
So
that sounds right.
But you know, we talk about, you know, when we do the musicals, it's always in the heat of the summer. Mm-hmm. Austin Shakespeare is always doing it in May, which can go either way at this point.
We're kind of locked into the. How's it been out there
for you guys?
So we've had some rehearsals where we're full on wearing coats and sweaters. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, we had a few cold fronts come through, and then some hot ones. And
I carry a bandana around because we're getting a little bit sultry,
a little toasty.
As the nights or the days get warmer, and then you know it cools down actually pretty pleasantly at night.
No, and I will say I did luck out fairly well with the costumes, because we have all the guys running around in their three-piece suits and their military uniforms, and I just get to skip around in sundresses.
Oh, so I'm enjoying that.
The ladies get off very easy. We're wearing like a kind of
as well it should be.
Ladies rarely get off easy in Shakespeare, so
I'll take it when I can get it. Well done
to them.
Well, that's great. So y'all have already opened. How's it been going? How are the crowds?
Very nice. You know, people have been making their way out there. We were a little overcast this weekend, but we still got very appreciative crowds. They're doing a lovely job of responding to us, and they seem to really like the set, which is very pretty, I have to say.
Yeah, I've seen pictures on the social medias.
It is the pretty.
So when do y'all close?
We got two more weekends, including this one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Thursday through Sunday. But there is no matinee. Because it's an outdoor theater. Right. We wait for the sun to go down.
What time is your curtain?
We get on stage and they make us start saying things by 8 p.m.
8 p.m. 8 p.m. Okay, great. And where can folks go to get more information about this show?
You can go to the Austin Shakespeare website.
Which is austinshakespeare.org.
.org. Yes. And you may also, if you're looking for parking information or anything like that, you can also go to the Zilker Hillside site.
Yep. It's not that difficult. Some people might be
afraid
of the parking situation.
Nope.
Ain't that bad.
Nope.
Ain't that bad. Well, great. Well, thank you all so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And Katie, it was great meeting you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Bo's always welcome. And you've co-hosted before as well.
Yes, I have.
So that's
great. Always a pleasure.
Well, thanks and best of luck with the rest of the show.
Thanks for having us. We look forward to seeing everybody.
Yeah. That was Katie Brown and Bo Paul of Austin Shakespeare's production of Much Ado About Nothing at Zilker
Hillside Theater.
Playing through the 24th of May. For more information, you may visit austinshakespeare.org. This is from a little show called Much Ado About Nothing. It's called Who is Hero? We'll be right back. Who is Hero? What is she? We are back. You have been listening, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Nicole Shiro and Lisa Sheps.
Us.
On KOOP 91.7 FM, streaming at koop.org, all over the world.
That happens.
If you're in Japan, you can hear it.
You can hear it in Japan. We have our friend Andrew in Australia.
Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Andrew.
We even have
Frank and Carol Valentine out in Colorado. Like, you can be anywhere and you can listen.
And we have Carolee Biddle over in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin. We are everywhere.
Everywhere. You can't
everywhere.
Get rid of us.
You can get a signal. You can get off stage and on the air. Yep. And also other great quality programming at koop.org.
There you go. You know what I never said? And they'll yell at me.
That
to you
love
say
me?
It right now. Yeah. Take yourself back to the beginning of the show, and I'm telling you that the opinions expressed on Offstage and On the Air are not necessarily those of Co-op, its board of directors, its volunteers, its staff, or anybody else.
Nope, just ours. And it's not the opinions from now forward. It's the opinions this whole time we've been on air.
That's true.
Yep.
Well, you mentioned it earlier that The Wiz is playing right now.
They have eased on down the road.
They are easing down the road.
Get it? They're home right now here in Austin.
They are.
Yeah.
Okay. And I got the pleasure of speaking to Alan Mingo Jr., who's playing the titular character in this show. And
quite a pedigree, that little Alan.
Quite a pedigree,
Mingo Jr.
Well, let's listen to this interview, and maybe we'll learn a little bit about that pedigree.
Okay.
Here goes.
All right.
Hey, everybody. I am sitting here via Zoom with Alan Mingo Jr. They are playing The Wiz in The Wiz that's currently going to be playing at Bass Concert Hall here in Austin, Texas. Alan Mingo Jr., welcome to Offstage and On the Air.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am so happy to have you on this. I love your resume. There's so much I want to talk about. But let's talk about The Wiz. I've never heard of it. What is it?
You've never heard of The Wiz?
No,
wow.
Of course I've heard of it. Tell us about The Wiz. This is the revival version.
Yes, we like to call it the reimagined version of The Wiz. The reason why is because we have a lot of fans from the movie who didn't even know the Broadway play existed. And I have to admit, I was one of those when I fell in love with the movie. I had no idea. It was not until I was cast as the Yellow Brick Road in college that I realized, wait, what is that? I didn't understand. And so someone told me the Broadway show came first. And then in my career, I wind up doing two other versions of The Wiz that were supposed to go to Broadway. So I've now been versed in the Broadway version. But the reason why we call this a reimagination is that we sort of blended the two together so that no fans would be disappointed when they came into the doors. But it's pretty much just the retelling of The Wizard of Oz from the Black perspective.
Yeah, so I grew up in the 70s, so I grew up with The Wiz and Stephanie Mills.
Yes.
And that was all very amazing. And you are playing the titular role. How does that feel for you?
The reason why I'm in this business today is because I fell in love with the movie, seeing people that look like me and sound like me. So I knew that a career possibility was out there for me. And so it allowed me to dream. And so now that I'm getting the chance to I've been with the project for 3 years. I've done the pre-Broadway, I've done Broadway, and I wanted to come out on tour because the show has meant so much to me and inspired me so much that I wanted to be a part of taking it to cities and being the Wiz for the new generation.
Oh, that's so great. So often the actor that originates the role on Broadway doesn't tour with it. So I'm really proud of you for doing it and very happy that you're coming here to Austin. How long have y'all been on the road so far?
We've been on the road for about a year and 3 months, 2 months.
Well, what the heck took you so long to get to Austin?
You know, I don't know. But we can't wait to get there. I think this will be my third or fourth time in Austin, so I'm really excited to get back.
Well, great. We're going to talk about Austin because I always like to talk about Austin people. But I just want to talk a little bit more about the show. Sure. If people aren't familiar with the show, And we know it's the Wizard of Oz from a Black perspective. Are there any other differences? So, you know, if I'm only familiar with the movie or now Wicked, what's going to be different in this version?
Well, the thing is, there are not many people who don't know when they see a lion talking lion and a scarecrow and a tin man. So for me, it just makes them lean a little forward. And while it's from the Black perspective, it's for everyone. And because we wanted to make this version timeless so that I can live on another 50 years and grow that way, we took the painstaking task of trying to take out a lot of the slang and take out of a lot of the where it was sort of stuck in the 70s. And look, I will tell you, the two other versions that I was going to go to Broadway with was like, one was the Jersey Boys team. They were trying to take out the slang, but it didn't quite work. And so I'm glad we sort of got it right with this version. But we also got the music right in this version. We took a lot of the underpinning and the orchestration and put orchestrations that were something you can hear on a streaming network now. So it doesn't take away the heart and soul of the music for those fans, but it also makes it fresher for a new generation. We really believe that, you know, once this show closes, that more theaters, universities, regional places will be doing this version of The Wiz because it's sort of timeless.
Oh, that's great. I'm wondering, and you may not be able to, but I'm curious, can you give us an example of some of the slang you took out and changed with? I'm curious.
I don't remember the script back then, but it was sort of like my man's. There was a lot of just 70s slang that even when I got into the 80s and the 90s, every director had a problem of how, what's the current word we say today? This way, by reimagining it and taking out those sort of the slang that actually points to the decade or the era, we just took them out so that now we're just in sort of an Afrofuturism without having to be bogged down of asking an actor or someone in the dramaturgy department, what's the slang you would use for this today? That became sort of every problem. Every time I would do The Wiz, that became the one problem where it always just felt dated. And when you'll come and see this version, you'll realize, oh, they sort of made it timeless so that it can be picked up. We can do the multicultural version of The Wiz without feeling like it's a little weird having this slang come out of their mouths. You can do with kids now, so it doesn't sound like they are sort of misplaced in doing a dated piece. And so that was one of the focuses with this show.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. The music for The Wiz is just so joyful. I think, you know, and I don't pretend to know as much about music as I should, but it's much more complex than the standard Wizard of Oz score.
Oh, very much so. And, you know, we had a couple of composers, you know, Luther Vandross, God bless his soul, is one of, right? He sort of wrote for The Wiz. We've also taken songs from the movie. For instance, the Scarecrow is not introduced with the Broadway version. We use the Michael Jackson version, but we don't get rid of the song. We sort of bring it somewhere in Act Two, where it actually makes sense for his character as well. And so we've done a lot of jumbling around, especially being conscious of a sort of social media savvy young audience. It moves a lot quicker, this version.
Cool, wonderful. Well, let's switch gears a little bit and just talk about, you've been to Austin several times. What are you looking forward to doing when you're here?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things I want to do. You have such a big musical and art culture that I fell in love with just going to sort of the local pubs and going to listening to some jam sessions. I mean, that's something that Austin is really special about. And, you know, the last time I was there, I think I was there with Shrek. I don't want to say the date because it will date me. Okay. And I just remember having a fabulous time. And so I can't wait to get back there.
Well, wonderful. And looking at your bio, there's some of the roles you've done. I love, especially Lola. Senior moment.
Kinky Boots.
Thank you. We had the pleasure of having Jay Harrison G on our show, and we actually have a picture. He brought the boot, and he came on the road with Kinky Boots at that point. But what a lovely thing! And of course, you've got Hamilton. Once on This Island, all the really greats. Did I see Ragtime in there? When's that coming up?
No Ragtime. No, you probably saw Rent. No Ragtime.
Yeah, no, but I think maybe Ragtime should.
We'll see. Who knows?
We'll see what happens after the Tonys.
Yes.
Well, great. Alan Mingo Jr., thank you so much for joining us on Offstage on the Air. I'm heartbroken because up until yesterday, I thought I was going to see the show. But I run a theater myself and we have a show that night, so I cannot go. So I'm going to miss your performance.
Understandable. At least you're doing some art somewhere, right?
Always.
I love it.
Well, great. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Alan Mingo Jr. He's playing the Wizard in Broadway Across America's production of The Wiz, performing May 12th through 17th at Bass Concert Hall. More information, austin.broadway.com.
So you wanted to meet the Wizard. Let me tell you that you've come to the right place. Shall I make you...
Okay, we just have time to say goodbye.
I really love that show.
Yeah, I was very, very disappointed that I didn't get to see it.
Yeah.
But stand by for Tracy Schultz. He's going to tell you what's new.
What's new, Tracy Schultz?
Whoa. We will see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And this just released is from the Queen of Versailles. This is Higher Than Ever. We'll see you next week.
Look where we end up, higher than ever. Back in business and my, oh my. Higher than ever, we're gonna fly. We'll be high.
Every safeguard and system.